Amen. So again, great to see you. Guys, what God has really been challenging my heart this last few weeks is being united together. I believe God, right from the start, right to the end, is saying, be united together. And although that we know this, it still requires us to do something. You know, especially if you're together with people that you don't really get on the best with. It's easier just to say, look, I'll do my job and you do your job, but let's just stay away from each other. And in church, it's a shame that you could come to church and you could be like, well, I've got my wee friends, but I'm not talking to those guys over there because for whatever reasons, I've decided I don't talk to them. They don't match with me. They don't fit with me. But God, from right to the beginning of the book in Genesis, right to the end, he says, I want you to be one. When you think about it, in the beginning, we looked a few weeks ago in Essentials, we talked about the Trinity. It says it's three gods in one, or three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in one. God is always representing unity. And God's saying this morning, I want you to represent unity in this place. We should be one church here, but we should also be one church together with the churches in Northern Ireland. We should also be one body with the churches of the world because we're all brothers and sisters. And I believe this morning God is wanting to challenge our hearts. And sometimes this can be difficult and sometimes this can be hard, but I believe God wants to show us this morning we're better united together. Not just together, but united together. Not just coming together, but in unity. And this morning I want to explore this idea of unity, start to look at what it really means and try to explore it in our hearts. So hopefully it's going to challenge us for more. Because I believe one thing, the closer we come together, the more we're going to achieve for the Lord because the more we're becoming like him. The closer you become like the one, the more you're representing the one. And the one is Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The first verse I want us to think about is in Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? I mean, even when you read this verse, it's suggesting this is what we should be doing. How good and pleasant is it when? You know, hopefully we're going to get to this when. Hopefully this when is applicable in our lives. Hopefully this when is active in our lives. Because here's why. When God's people live together in unity. When David wrote this back in the Psalms way back thousands of years ago, I'm sure he was hoping that God's people would get a grasp of this verse and go, it's actually good to be in unity. It's actually good to be together. It's actually good to be united. And I feel this morning God has challenged us even in this way, in a simple way like this. Have we spoken to everybody here? Do we even know everybody? Have we got a chance to say hello to people? Because that's what we're doing. When we do that, we're promoting unity. We're coming together better, being better united together. And this is what God's saying. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? Coming together, but being united. United in thoughts, united in actions, united in deeds, united in him. And so I started to look up what is being united mean, or what does it mean to be in unity? And I came across a lovely word. And it's called harmony. I think it's a lovely word. Think about it for just a second. When we're united, it means that we're in harmony together. And when you think about the word harmony, it means this. It means that you may have a different personality to her, and vice versa. And somebody else might have a different personality, and even different actions, and they look different, and maybe even wear different perfumes, smell different. But if we work together, we can achieve harmony. And so when we work together effectively, we achieve harmony. It's like working together, all doing slightly different parts, but all working together on the one thing to achieve the one thing. And God's saying this morning that I love when my people come together and they work in harmony. They work in unity. I love harmony when it comes to singing. It's not something that I can do that easily. Nikki told me once, you can't do it naturally. It's true. I've got to hear what she's saying, or I've got to hear what somebody else is, and then I can kind of maybe try to do it. But there's nothing better when you hear harmony when it comes to singing. Let me just give you the example of this. Whenever you hear someone singing, you think, wow, they have a really lovely voice. They just have a great voice. And then maybe someone joins them and they sing together. In a sense, they sing in unison. They sing exactly the same thing. And you think, wow, that sounds really good. It's almost like amplified. This is kind of like a nice amplified sound of the same sound. But then you hear somebody, or you hear a group of people, and they come together and they do harmony. What are they doing? They're singing the same song but different parts. And together it just sounds so much fuller. It sounds so much better. You're like, wow, I thought one person singing together was great. I thought two or three people singing the exact same thing was great. But then I heard harmony, and I was like, wow. It's just a different level. It's just a different togetherness. It's just completeness in a song. It just sounds so much better. And God is saying this morning, I love when my people come together in harmony. And why is this a great description? Because we don't all have to be the same. When you come together in harmony, we're allowed to be different, but we're all on the same page. We're all in the same song. We're all trying to achieve the same goal. And this is what God's saying when he's talking about unity. He's saying, I don't need everybody to be exactly the same. That's not how you can achieve unity. I'm happy enough for people to be different. In fact, it says, I'm going to give it to you, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. God is saying this morning, you want to think how unity works? Think about the body. We've got arms, feet, legs, we've got toenails, we've got whatever. You know, all essential, all important, all part of the same body, but all fulfilling different roles, different functions, all looking different, all feeling different, all completely different, but together we're special. Together we form the body, and this is what God is calling us to do this morning. I'm not looking to be exactly like you. You're not looking to be exactly like me. That wouldn't be what God's calling us to be. He's created us unique, but this morning God's saying together, come together in harmony, and watch what you can do. Watch what you can achieve. You want to know another great example of harmony? The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All written from different perspectives, but all coming together for one continuous text. I just love that. Just four different guys, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, all different personalities, all saw slightly different things, but they all came together to write one continuous text. There's no parts of either one of those Gospels that you will ever find a contradiction. They work together in harmony. This is what God is asking for this morning. This is what God loves. The Trinity. Andrew shared, I want to share this before we move on really quickly. He shared about the Trinity. You've got one God, and inside the Trinity, you've got three. You've got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he blew our minds another bit from God's word, and he says, and then think when Jesus came to earth, he had two natures. So he was completely God and completely man. So he had a two, a three, and then a one. I mean, God is just amazing. He's just absolutely amazing. He fries your head sometimes. But God has challenged us to come together for unity. Come together in harmony and watch what we can achieve. If you look up the word unity in Maz, you might already know the answer to this. What do you get when you look up unity in Maz? Or you expect unity? What are you expecting? You're expecting one. For us as Christians, who do we think of when we think about one? We're thinking about Jesus. And so what makes me think about this morning is this. We should all be adding up together to achieve the one. We should all be adding up together to produce the one. Because people on the outside, if we're talking about outside and inside, which I don't even really like, but brothers and sisters who don't know us yet because they don't know God yet, if they're on the outside looking in, what do they want to see? They want to see a people that are together. They want to see a people that, although diverse, come together on the same things. Although have different personalities and different tastes, can work together in unity. They want to see that. When somebody looks in, they don't want to see 0.9 or 0.99995. They want to see 1.0. They don't want to see 1.5. And God doesn't want to see that either. He says, I just want to see you all adding up together to make the one. Because it's all about me. And you were created for worship. Nikki shared it earlier. This is what God is saying. Working together in harmony, working together to achieve the one. I wrote it down earlier. I said, we started with one at the start. God promoted oneness at the start. He said, I'm creating a perfect heaven and a perfect earth, and then I'm going to make man in my image, oneness, and then it's not good for him to be alone, so I'll create a woman in my image as well, so oneness. And then what ended up happening? We got separated. We just became loads of scattered, we loads of particles, loads of bits. And that went on for a series of time, and the Old Testament tells us that over time then we bring sacrifices to the priest, and they would try to bring us back in oneness again. But it never worked, because blood from goats and animals and rams and all that thing, they'll never fully satisfy. And then what happened? The one came, and he achieved oneness again. Achieve oneness. So the separation was removed. And now, if therefore today, we can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe you in my heart and I confess you with my mouth and I become one with you. There is no separation anymore. And then what does it say right when we get to the end in Revelations? It says we're going to become one again because God's coming back for the one, which is us, to bring us home to be the one with him. See, together we're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be united together in unity. This is what God is calling us to do. I want us to go to Ephesians 4. If you've got your Bibles, you can look it up. If not, you can check it on the screen. It says Ephesians 4. This is Paul speaking. He starts off and he just says, as a prisoner of the Lord. I think what he's trying to suggest us, or what he's trying to tell us, is that I've been through some stuff. I've been through a lot of experiences. I've been beat up. I've been kicked. I've been battered. I've been put in prison, but I still love Jesus. In other words, I've been through troubles. I've been through trials, and here's what I want to give you, some advice, some wisdom from God. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you. I mean, he just says, I urge you. This is something big. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And before we even go on this morning, I want us to think about that. He's saying, you have received the calling. He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to the body. He is speaking to us this morning as if he didn't even know us, but he's speaking through the word of God to us this morning. And God's saying very clearly, you've got a call in your life. You have a call in your life, and it can still work within unity. It can still work with togetherness. God says you have a call on your life. And what is he asking? Live a life worthy of the calling. In other words, live a life of worship to the Lord. Live a life that's going for God rather than what can I get away with? We talked about it last week. We say, Lord, give us clean hands and pure hearts. We just want to be clean for you. We want to be pure for you, Lord. We want to give you our best. It's our decision. It's our choice. We want to do that. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, be completely humble. I was reading this earlier and I was thinking, completely humble? I mean, it's hard enough to be a tiny bit humble at times, but God is challenging us this morning to be completely humble. And we're going to see in a minute why that is. Of course, it's going to be for unity. God is saying, completely humble. What does that look like for us? How does that work out in our lives with each other? It means there may be things that we don't like, or there may be times where we're getting a bit big on it, or it might be this, or it might be that, but God's challenge is, be humble, be mindful of who you are, be part of the body, do not upset that. Be completely humble and gentle. These are big things that God is requiring of us this morning. But as I read it this week, I thought to myself, what God is not saying is, you're going to have to achieve this on your own. God is not saying, you're going to have to achieve this in your own strength, in your own power. We're going to see it in a few moments' time. God is saying, you're going to do it through me. But this is the capacity that you have now as a new believer. This is the capacity that you have as a person of Christ, as an ambassador of God. You have this capacity if you want to avail of it. You can have this complete humility. You can have this complete gentleness. It says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. This sometimes can be a very difficult thing. Bearing with one another in love. I can't bear him. I can't bear her. What do you mean I've got to do it in love? I'm just trying to like them. But God is saying this morning, you got to bear one another with love. Why? Because we're completely humble. We're completely gentle. We know who we are in Christ. I mean, it's not about us anymore because we have nothing to prove. You know, I was thinking about it and I was mindful of it and I felt God was saying this. The only reason that you get a lot of problems with a lot of people is when you start thinking you're better than somebody else, that you weren't as bad as them, or you're slightly better than them, and they'll never be like you in a sense. And although we're not really thinking that outwardly, it's in our subconscious. You know what God says? We were all sinners. We were all in need of salvation. Jesus needed to come for you just as much as he needed to come for her or him or somebody else. It did not matter. We were all lost. We were all separated from God. And so we cannot have that mentality of, I'm not going to let her away with that because what would that do for me? If we remind ourselves, we're all part of the same body. So if she's hurting, eventually it's going to hurt me. This morning, God's saying, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. This may be a challenge this morning. That's good. It's good to be challenged by God's word. He wants to bring positive change in our lives. Bearing with one another in love. And I love this next part because this is hard for us to do sometimes. Make every effort. Make every effort. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. This is a role that we have to play. This is a role that God's asking us to do. He's saying, guys, would you make every effort, knowing who you are, knowing what you've got, knowing what you've received, knowing how you've been bought with this precious blood of Jesus, would you make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? I just love that. Would you make every effort with each other? Would you make every effort? Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to convict us of our sins. He comes to challenge us to live better for God. He comes to actually change us and help us make changes in our lives. He comes to help us to read, to pray, to grow, to do great things for God. He's essential in our midst. We looked at him. We were talking about him this week in Essential 7, and we just said, wow, the Holy Spirit is so important, and we just saw great things happen this week in terms of the Holy Spirit just touching people's lives, infilling, outflowing, just moving in their hearts and lives, and it was absolutely amazing. But God's saying this morning there's something linked to that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's so important to keep that unity. It's so important to not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's so important to be sensitive to him and know that he is important and know that he is here. Why is he important? Jesus said, I have to go. I have to go because if I do not go, he cannot come. And now the Holy Spirit is here. And so we're doing it not only for our own sake as a body, but even better than that, we're doing it for the sake of the Holy Spirit. because he is God and he is in our midst and God loves unity. And how are we going to do this? Through the bond of peace. I love that. Through the bond of peace. Who is our peace? We know Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He lives in our hearts. How are we going to achieve all of these things? By knowing that we're at peace. By knowing that we're at peace with God. We're not in a rage. We're not mad. We're God. Come and challenge me. Come and change me. Come and take all of those things outside of me because, Lord, you reign in my heart. I'm at peace. And whenever you're at peace, you can be a lot nicer to everybody else. You can be a lot kinder. You can be a lot more forgiven because the Prince of Peace reigns in your heart. And I love the way it's described in that verse. He's the bond, or through the bond of peace. Whenever I think bonds, I think to like the kind of things like money. We think about a few years ago and we think about bonds. You know what it means to bond something? It means to bring it together and hopefully it will never come apart. Never come apart. And God's saying, you've been bonded with peace. You have this peace bond. You have this inside of you. Don't ever try to pull it apart. Just use this peace. Work through this peace and bring peace to everywhere that you go. Back in 2008, whenever the recession hit, lots of people had lots of savings bonds full of money saved away for a long time to come, and then one day they would reap the rewards of them. But what happened? Everything was dismantled. Everything was destroyed because the integrity of the bond was broken. And whenever the integrity of that bond is broken, then it affects everything, and suddenly nothing was worth anything. And God is saying this morning, protect the bond of peace in your midst. Protect the bond of peace that you have received. Protect the bond of peace that everyone else has received as a new believer in Christ. And through that peace, this is how you're going to achieve the unity of the Spirit. What an amazing Savior we serve. Why is it important, and why is all of this important? Because eventually, like any natural body, whenever sickness starts in one corner, it will eventually get to every part of the body. It will eventually affect every part of the body. So for the sake of unity, I'm loving her. I'm going after her. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for her because for the sake of unity, because I know eventually that sickness or that hurt or that pain or that person will eventually affect me because I'm part of the same body. God's challenging us here, and I know that he's challenging us with maturity as well, because it's going to take maturity in our walks with God. It's going to take even maturity in terms of natural maturity, and it's going to take wisdom, it's going to take grace, it's going to take love, it's going to take abundance, and we will only achieve this through the love of the Father. Guys, I know that we're starting to run out of time, but I want to share this one quick point. I thought to myself, could new members bring disunity? You know what I mean? Whenever we're a nice, tight bunch, and then new people come, and we think to ourselves in the natural, when a new team member comes in, it disrupts the group. Well, it can do. But then I thought to myself, what is the bigger picture? You know what the bigger picture is this? God says that he's looking for people that are lost to become found. And if something is lost, it had to, at one point, be found. Otherwise, you couldn't have lost it. You've had to have had something so it could be lost. Otherwise, it's not possible. And I believe what God is saying this morning and what he wants to really challenge our hearts in terms of reaching our family, reaching our coworkers, reaching our friends is this. You're not just looking for a stranger. You're looking for a brother and sister. Their place is already here. They just don't know it. It's almost like you've had a brother or sister and they've went missing. And then 30 years later, you find them and you said, we find our missing brother and sister. This is what God wants to challenge our hearts with this morning. We have missing brothers and sisters that are out there. They're not just strangers who we never knew. We may not have never known them, but we are together in one body because God says, I've died for the whole world. I died for the whole world. And when we go back to Genesis, we realize we're all made in God's image. We're all his sons and daughters. And the only difference between us and them, in a sense, which I don't even like using that either, is this, is that we know who our Heavenly Father is. Our separation has been removed, and we've come back into right relationship with God. We've become those sons and daughters again. And so this morning, when somebody new comes in, you know what we're thinking? My heart's breaking because here's my missing person. Here's my missing brother and sister. Here's this person that was lost, and now they're going to become found. They were not just a stranger, but they were a family member, and now they're coming back into our midst. We thought we had lost them. Remember like the prodigal son? We thought we had lost him. But as soon as he turned around, the father came running because he was like, wow, my son has come home. So our challenge this morning is this, is that we look around and we start to look at people with different eyes. We start to look at people with different hearts and we start to say, wow, they really are my brother and sister. They're just lost. They just don't know their father yet. They just don't know who their father is yet. And so I'm going to do my best to be a great example. I'm going to do my best to bring love and kindness to their lives in the hope that they will join our unity, in the hope that they will join our togetherness. blessings. I want to read Acts 2 this morning. Why is it so important to be united? Because of blessing. It says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Just speaking about oneness again. In one place. They were in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is what happens when we come together in oneness. God's Spirit is able to move. God's presence is able to come so much stronger and so much better and in all of his fullness. Because God just hates disunity. He hates when people are not together. It just destroys them in a sense. Because he loves unity. God this morning is saying, whenever we're in unity together, when we're in harmony together, my Holy Spirit can just move. And that is what we're longing for. That is what we need, because he's going to convict hearts. He's going to challenge us. He's going to bring us further. He's going to fill us up to overflowing. He's going to allow us to be all that God has created us to be. Lord, this morning, I want us to be in oneness. Here's another blessing of being in oneness in verse 42 of the same chapter. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Now all who believed were together. I love that line. Now all who believed were together. It's almost like this should be automatic. And yet we're so very good at not being together sometimes. But it says, all who believed were together. This is what it should be like. All who believed were together and had all things in common. We believe in God. We believe in the same Jesus. We've been saved by the same Lord. We've got so much in common. And look at this. Look at this for the level of degree in which they had unity. It says, they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, and as anyone had need. This is the challenge of unity. This is how it works out practically. We come together as a body. We come together as a team. We come together as a family. And when we recognize that she is in need or he is in need, we all rally around to help them because we love them as brothers and sisters. We come together and we say, look, if it even has to come to this, we do that. I remember some guys in here, I'm not going to name their names, but I knew some guys in here that took money from their savings and put it into Vibe. Because they said, there's a need there, and I got to help the family. I got to help the body. That's what they did whenever we were trying to buy this building. I remember another guy who sold his car, and he gave some of the money from his car to be able to help to buy this building because he did it for the body. He did it for the group. He did it for unity. He recognized what God was calling them to do. God is saying this morning, this is what I love when you come together in unity. So they continued daily with one accord. They just continued daily with togetherness, in unity, in the temple, in church, in Vibe. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. I love that. They just continued to praise God, and they had favor with all the people. This is what unity brings. Brings favor not only on the inside, but on the outside as well. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the best part. That is the best part. Why should we be in unity? Because this is what it brings. Why should we be together? Because that is a life I want to be involved in. I hope when we read that this morning and we look at those words this morning, we're saying, wow, I want to be involved in that. That's the type of group I want to be in. That's the type of group I want to be a part of. Do you know how we achieve it? When each and every one of us say, that's the way I'm going to live. That's the way I'm going to be. That's the way I'm going to apply my life in this group, in this body, in this fellowship. That's the way I'm going to move out there as well. I want to be together. I want to be in unity. Why? Because for the most important thing, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Love that. Do we not want to see people saved? Do we not love it when people get saved? It happens in unity. It happens when the Spirit is here. It happens when there's a togetherness. It happens when people can see, wow, they really are at one together. They really are at one together in God, and God is doing great things in them. I want to finish off with a few questions this morning, and then we're nearly done. How can we keep each other together? And I just thought about some simple, quick, practical questions that maybe we can prompt our hearts this morning, or maybe we can apply in our lives as we go forward. And here's just some of them that I wrote down. Who's not here today? You know what I mean? We could have that question in our heart and just say, who's not here today that I know is always here? Maybe I should give them a text. And then in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, but somebody else is going to do it. You know, there's the pastoral team, them holy guys. They're probably going to do it. They're not holy. Come on. They're just the same as each and every one of us. They're just normal, good people who love God. That's it. That's the only thing that qualifies. And so we're thinking, well, will I say hello to somebody? Or, well, did I notice someone wasn't here? Well, I said, no, I'm not going to do it because somebody else is going to do it. Nothing beats whenever you get multiple texts. Nothing beats whenever you hear multiple phone calls and be like, we missed you this week. We love you this week. We're not phoning to check up on you because that's not what Unity does. We're phoning because we love you. We're phoning because we miss you, because we love you being here, because we miss you when you're not here. That's what Unity does. That's what a family does. It misses people when they're not here. Could that be what we're like? Is that what we could promote? Who's not here this morning? Who's sick this morning? You know what I mean? Who's sick? Who do we remember as being sick this morning? They're not here because they're sick. Right, I think I'm going to go visit them. I think I'm going to go and send them a text or send them a message. But the worst thing that we could do is do nothing. Do nothing, we will not achieve anything. If we do something, we might achieve something. You know what I mean? You plant a small seed in the ground, it might bloom, it might do something, it might achieve a harvest. If you don't plant anything, nothing will happen. Nothing comes from nothing in a sense. We don't believe in evolution. We believe in a creator. The creator came and he created something. And since that, everything has been created. Who's not here? Who's sick? Who needs help? You know, maybe we know of some people and we just know that they need help. And here's the other thing. We might receive it spiritually, or we might have to do a bit of, I don't want to use the word investigating, but as a family, you will check up on each other and you will know, wow, my brother's moving today. He's moving house. I'm going to go help him. You know, my sister and sister in terms, I'm just seeing a family context, which can be applied to here. But you would know the things she's going through because you live together. You hear things. I mean, you overhear things. You see things she's written down. You just know things because you're together. And this is what Unity does. We're together so we know things about each other. Not for nosiness sake, but for the benefit of the group because we love each other. We want to be helping each other. So who am I praying for this morning? Who am I praying for this morning? Who am I praying for this week? What if I had a list of 3 or 4 people and they were on my phone, or I went and bought a journal, or I went and got a diary, and I said I'm writing down their names and I'm praying for them. I don't even know why I'm praying for them, but I know prayer is good and they might need it. Because who knows what someone's facing on the inside? We don't have to go and find out every single piece of information about someone unless they want to share it. But we can still be praying for them, because who doesn't like prayer? Who doesn't need prayer? Who wouldn't want prayer? It's a great thing. It helps us to keep going forward. It helps us to be strong in God. So who am I praying for? Who am I really praying for this morning? Is that something that we would take on board for the sake of unity, to become more like Christ, for the benefit of the body? And we would say, Lord, I'm going to pray for 3 or 4 people this week, and I'm going to do it next week. Or I'm going to keep praying for that person till I feel like I should move on to somebody else, because that's what someone that believes in unity and believes in the Lord does. We pray for each other. We look out for each other. I love this one. Who do I not like, but I'm working on it? Who do I not like, but I'm working on it? You know what I mean? We have a very good kind of intellect that says, no, she did that for me, and that's it. We're done. That's never, ever speaking to her again. That's it. It's over. And it might be the silliest thing, but for the sake of unity and to be like Christ, is that the right thing to do? Absolutely not. I mean, you think of the picture when Jesus was going to the cross and everybody's spitting at him. Even his own people have turned against him. In fact, it's probably his own people that have put him on the cross. And he's saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to keep on going. Why? Because they're worth it. Why? Because they need it. Why? Because they don't even know what they need yet, but I know what they need. They need love. They need grace. They need forgiveness. Jesus is saying this morning, don't be people that does something because you're always getting a big thank you or a big love. Do it because you know it's the right thing to do, because it's the God thing to do, because it promotes unity, because we're all part of the same body. And when she's sick or when she's hurting, it will eventually hurt me, because sickness in the body always gets the whole way through if it's just left to fester and just left to go. So who do I not like, but I'm working on it? That may be a challenge for all of us. Who do I think badly of, but I'm praying for them? You know what I mean? There may be times where we see people that are doing things that we know that they shouldn't. Our job is not always to go over to them and say, you know you're doing a bad thing? You know you're doing a wrong thing? Because they'll be very quickly to point out, I've seen you doing plenty of bad things too. But what we can do is together as a body, we can say, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for her. We don't need to tell everybody at the prayer meeting that she's a really bad person through our prayers and even label them. That's not a good thing to do. That is not good. That's just being bad. But we can definitely pray for each other, and we can say, you know what? That person did this. They may even have did something to me. I don't understand it, but I'm still going to pray for them, because I know that's what God would do. That's what Jesus is calling me to do. We have been saved from something that we didn't even deserve to get saved. I mean, if it's all about deserving and all about us being more right than somebody else, who deserved anything? But Jesus gave everything for us, even though we didn't deserve a thing, because of his great love. That same love is inside of us. That same peace reigns in our heart. And then on the flip side, for the togetherness of each other? Am I sharing the things that I have need with my brothers and sisters? Am I like sharing? Because some days we don't share because we're like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to let somebody down. I want to dishearten anybody. You know, it's actually right to share with people at times. It's actually right to share your problems. That's what a family does. If you think of your family, would it not be strange that if some point in the day somebody didn't come to you every now and again and go, Mom, I'm really struggling, or Dad, I really need help with this, or sister or brother, you wouldn't refer to them as that, but, you know, sister, brother, I really need help, or I'm really struggling. And why do we not do that when it comes to church? Because, again, that actually does promote unity. It actually does. I'm struggling with my part. You know, if we're talking back to the harmonies thing again, I'm struggling with my part. Can you help me stay on my harmony? Can you help me stay? Can you help me get onto that? And God's saying this morning, it does not discourage the body whenever someone says that I'm actually sick, could you help me? Because again, that sickness will eventually affect all of us because we're part of the same body. We want to see ourselves fit and healthy together. So it's actually a good thing to share with each other and say, hey, I'd really love prayer. This is not, I don't want it to be about me. You know, we come up with all those different things. It's actually really good to share from time to time. Very quickly, I'm going to finish. This is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is how we're going to achieve all of this. It's through the grace of God. This is how we're going to achieve all of these things this morning, through God's amazing grace. Through God's amazing grace. You know, grace is a thing that very few people get outside of church because it does not exist. Why would anybody show grace to anyone when they don't deserve it? Why would I give grace to someone with no hope of return? So grace is a foreign concept. I think we shared it months ago, but when the Hillsong guys moved into New York, they were asked to come to different TV conferences, different news crews. They're asked all the time, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why are you doing this? And they just sent the reporters crazy all the time because they just kept saying them, we're doing it because of grace. You're like, grace? What do you mean by grace? We hate grace. What are you talking about grace for? Life is what you deserve. You get what you deserve. You put in what you get and all this. And God's saying this morning, I love grace. And the reason that you're going to love each other is because of grace. And the reason that you're going to go and make a difference in someone's heart and life, even when they don't deserve it, is because of grace. And the reason why someone's going to love you, even when you're in your worst times, is because of grace. Because God has given us all a portion of grace as needed in our lives. What are we going to do this with? How are we going to achieve these things? Through that grace that God has given us. Let's stand together. We're going to finish. The guys are going to finish with a song. Love you, Jesus. And just as they're coming, I want to finish with a final thought this morning. We have it written down on the wall as you come in, not by accident, but by design, welcome home. Because home's another great describing word of unity. Home is a place where you can come and be yourself. Home is a place where you can have diversity. You can actually even have fallouts, but we'll love you anyway because that's what a family does. Whenever you come into a home, you should sense and feel love. We hope this morning that as you would come every week, you would sense and feel love. That actually you would be bringing love with you because if you're a part of this home, then you carry that love and you bring that acceptance and you bring that peace. And so this morning, that is why we have welcome home at the bottom, so that when everybody comes, whether they know it or not, it says, you're definitely welcome home. You're definitely welcome to this place, because home is a place of unity. Home is a place of love. Unity allows for many things, because we're together on the one thing. And that's what God is saying this morning. We have unity because of our oneness in Christ. We have unity because of Jesus. He is the one. And if we are lacking in unity, turn to Jesus. If we need help in our unity, if we need help in our togetherness, we turn to Jesus. If we are not in union together this morning, then we go to Jesus. He fixes everything. He is the solution. And so this morning, we might have to challenge our hearts, and maybe this week God will challenge our hearts in some, maybe even unforgiveness, maybe even just raw emotions that are still there. And God's going to say and challenge us this morning. believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. That's it. And everything turns around. He makes you a new creation. He changes you from the inside out. He gives you a brand new start, and you come back into that family that you were always lost from, that you were always away from, and you start to feel complete again. You start to feel one again. So this morning, before we say, I wonder, is there anybody who just needs to receive Jesus in that way? Or maybe you need to come back to God. We're going to do something really simple. While everybody has their eyes closed, their heads bowed, I'm just going to simply ask you to indicate by putting your hand up, and then we're going to all pray together for you and the needs that you have. Is there anybody this morning that just needs to come back into a right relationship with God, or needs to receive